All right, I want to begin by thanking the Sklar and Weinstein families, in particular Joyce Sklar, for sponsoring tonight's shiur. Eloi Nishmas, their mother, Gladys Weinstein, Gittel Bas Zanvildov. And I appreciate the family members being here. And Amir Tzashem, the Torah that we learn should be a tremendous aliyah for neshama. It's almost Purim, and there's an endless amount of Purim Torah to be shared. And I want to try to share tonight a very beautiful approach, a little bit complex, a little bit deep, a little bit abstract, and I hope I'll be able to give it over in a clear way, but really an amazing understanding of the most important moment of the Megillah. Because Chazal have a big debate, where do you need to read the Megillah from in order to fulfill your obligation? Do I need to hear the whole Megillah? Is it enough to hear selections of the Megillah? So the Mishnah Maseches Megillah presents a three-way debate on this matter. In source number one, the Mishnah Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, where it's bolded, Meheichan korei adam es Megillah v'yotzei ba yedei chovas. From where does a person need to hear the Megillah to fulfill one's obligation? I mean, we've heard the story year after year, so how much of the story do you need to hear? So, it's a machlokas. Rabbi Meir Omer Kula. Rabbi Meir says you need to hear the entire thing. You can't miss one bit of the Megillah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Me'ish Yehudi. Rabbi Yehuda says you need to hear from the time that Mordechai HaTzadik arrives on the scene. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Me'achar HaDvar Ma'ila, which is the moment where Haman arrives on the scene. Three opinions found in the Mishnah, in Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara adds a fourth opinion, which is the one that I want to think about tonight. Because it's the one that is maybe the most compelling, but when you see who says it, it may become the most compelling. The Gemara says in source number two, adds on one opinion to the Mishnah, Tanya was taught in the Braisa, where it's bolded. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer. Now I'm a big Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai kind of Jew. Whenever Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has something, I know he's saying something deep. But it often means that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, 12 years in a cave, like the Gemara in Shabbos says, and then a 13th year, becoming Rashbi, the Rebbe of Lag BaOmer, a Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, a person who's a critical link in the transmission of Torah's Hanistar, in the hidden world of Torah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says something which again is not so obvious to us at all. He says, you know where you need to hear the Megillah from? To fulfill your obligation? Mi balayla hahu. From the time that Achashverosh has a rough night. From the time that Achashverosh couldn't sleep. And he remembers that Mordechai did him a favor. True. And he gives Mordechai a ride on the horse. True. And it's a beautiful display. And gives a little chizuk to the people of Shushan. But in terms of the bigger picture, it's sort of tangential. It's not really a turning point in the story. The fact that Achashverosh couldn't sleep, Achashverosh was tossing and turning, he remembers that Mordechai did a favor for him once upon a time. He has to repay the favor so he can get a good night's sleep. Again, it's a nice scene. Of course, Haman's the one who's leading Mordechai. It feels like a moment of victory for Klal Yisrael. But that's not really, in terms of what Esther's up to and her courage to go to Achashverosh and the planning of the party and being there at the right moment to call out Haman. The fact that Mordechai rode the horse is nice and all. The fact that Achashverosh couldn't sleep. But that's not really the turning point of the story. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, you want to be able to fulfill your obligation on Purim, you need to hear from there, from Balailahu, on that night, the king couldn't sleep. And the Gemara goes on and explains, what are all of the opinions based upon? It's really all based upon one pasuk. Am Rabbi Yochanan v'kulan mikra echad darshu. All four opinions, the three in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's opinion who's being added here, are all based upon one pasuk in the Megillah. The pasuk says, V'tichtov Esther Hamalka u'Mordechai ha'Yehudi es kol tokef. Esther and Mordechai recorded all of the tokef. What's tokef? The strength. So the rabbis are debating, what's the strongest part of the Megillah? Man da amar kula, the one who says you need to read the whole thing, means you need to hear from what? From tokvo shel Achashverosh, from the strength of Achashverosh. From the point that Achashverosh's power is being displayed, which is the opening words of the Megillah. Uman da amar me'ish Yehudi, and the one who says that you need to hear from the time that Mordechai arrives on the scene, Tokvo shel Mordechai, the strength of Mordechai. Uman da amar me'achar advar ma'ela. That's when Haman arrives on the scene. Tokvo shel Haman, the grandeur, the power of Haman. Uman da Amar mi Balailahu, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who says you need to hear the Megillah from Balailahu, Tokfo Shel Nes. Tokfo Shel Nes, the strength of the miracle. That's the strength of the miracle. Again, the Megillah is not really such a miraculous book. Hashem's name doesn't appear in the Megillah. Everything is in concealed mode. You don't understand. It's not Hanukkah. There's not open miracles. It's political connections. It's people making courageous moves. Hashem's name does not appear one time in the 167 psukim of Megillah Esther, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of concealment throughout the Megillah. Our job is what? Is Megillas Esther, to uncover, to be Megaleh, to reveal that which is Esther, that which is hidden, that which is Beseser. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai looks at the Megillah and he says, I'll tell you, Tokfo Shel Nes, I'll tell you where the miracle really gets going. I'll tell you where the crux of the Megillah lies. It's Balailahu Nididosh Nas HaMelech. On that night, Achashverosh couldn't sleep. And the first question I want to pose tonight is, why is that Tokfo Shel Nes? Of all the things, what was so miraculous about that? And what message is really hidden within that sleepless night of Achashverosh, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the great transmitter of Pnimiyas HaTorah, the secret world of Torah, the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, what is it about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's understanding of the Megillah that leads him to point to that pasuk more than anything else? Question number one. Question number two. Purim and Pesach have a lot of overlapping themes. Different types of a geula, very different type of geula, but there are many things that happen on Purim and Pesach, and again, it's beyond the context of what we're going to discuss tonight. But when it comes to sleeping, sleeping plays an interesting role with regard to fulfilling one's mitzvah on Pesach and fulfilling one's mitzvah on Purim, in almost the opposite way. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in source number 4, Chayiv Adam La'asok B'ilchus Pesach U'B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, a person supposed to spend the Seder night learning the halachos of Pesach, telling the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, L'saper B'nisim B'neflos She'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu La'voseinu Ad She'techtafenu Sheinu. Until when must a person continue to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Until a person is overcome by sleep. The goal is not to fall asleep. The goal is to stay awake. The goal is to be awake all night until your Talmidim come and say, Rabbis, it's morning, you didn't even realize you passed the night so quickly. But if you get drowsy, if you've become a little sleepy after 4 cups of wine and many kazesim of matzah, and a good meal, a good Shulchan Aruch, so it's normal that a person becomes drowsy. So you're supposed to engage in the conversation, call a marbe l'saper, raise a meshubach, keep telling the story, keep recounting the miracles, keep learning the halachos, until a person is overcome by sleep. Once you're so sleepy, you can't stay awake. So now you've what? You fulfilled your obligation. The goal is not to fall asleep, but sleep removes the obligation to continue to tell the story. Sleep in general is not a mitzvah. We're not striving for sleep. Sleep will sometimes exempt a person from an obligation. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a very interesting thing. He discusses, he says, even by a sukkah, there's not really a mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah per se. There's a mitzvah to do everything you do in a sukkah. So if you normally sleep, so your sleep should be done in a sukkah. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, what happens if it's a small sukkah, a relatively small sukkah, someone enters the sukkah and goes to sleep? Okay. Someone else shows up and they see this fellow sleeping in the sukkah and there's no room for this person to sleep in the sukkah. Could you remove the person who's sleeping, if you have a steady hand and he's a deep sleeper, could you remove the person in the sukkah, drag him out, pull him outside the sukkah and take his spot? It sounds like a very strange halacha. Again, maybe don't try this at home. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, the fellow who's sleeping is not chayiv in sukkah. When you're sleeping, there's no obligation to do mitzvahs in your sleep. So the fellow who's actually sleeping, if he's removed from the sukkah, and he wakes up and he says, hey, I'm not in the sukkah anymore. That's okay. It was bonus. It wasn't in your control. Someone dragged you out in the middle of your sleep. And technically, the guy who's awake has an obligation to be in the sukkah. The guy who's asleep is in a world where a person is not obligated in the mitzvahs. So technically, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you could drag the fellow out of the sukkah and take his spot in the sukkah. Very, very interesting application. But it highlights the fact that when a person is sleeping, they're not obligated so much in mitzvahs. And therefore, Jews are supposed to be awake. So continue to tell the story at the Seder until you're overcome with sleep. What about Purim? Purim, it almost sounds like we're striving to go to sleep. If you look in the halachos of Purim, In source number 5, the Shulchan Aruch describes Chayiv Inish Lebesume Bepuraya Ad Lo Yad Ben Araham Levarach Mordechai. It is a practice based on the Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin that a person should become intoxicated on Purim until they don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. Says the Ramah in the italicized print, V'yesh Omrim, De'ein Tzarech Lishtaker Kol Kach. You don't need to become so drunken. Elisha Yishta Yoser Milimudo. Drink a little bit more wine than you typically do. V'yishan. And go to sleep. Go to sleep. On Purim. For you know who wants to miss out on Purim? Halacha is telling you to go to sleep. And that's how you fulfill the mitzvah. Of Ad Lo Yodim, Chayiv Inish, the Besumer Puraya. You're going to try to fulfill that mitzvah in a state of sleep? That's very unusual. If you stop and think about it, that's very unusual. Most mitzvahs, if you try to do it in an even sleepy state, it's a question whether or not you fulfill the mitzvah. If you're half asleep when you're hearing the Megillah, if you're half asleep when you hear the shofar, that we're trying to go to sleep to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Chayiv Inish, the Besumer Puraya, Ad Lo Yodim, that's a strange thing. We need to think about it. Again, on Pesach, falling asleep is mafkia. It removes the obligation to continue doing the mitzvah. On Purim, it sounds like the way to achieve the mitzvah is to put yourself to sleep. Drink some wine and put yourself to sleep. Very, very unusual. So there's a big secret here. Okay, and I would like to try to explore this secret together. There's no section of Tanakh that highlights our relationship with Hashem more than Shir HaShirim. We want to talk about the depth of our connection to Hashem, the intimacy of our relationship with Hashem. There's nothing that highlights it as deeply and as purely as Shir HaShirim. It says in Shir HaShirim in source number 6, Ani yeshena v'libi er. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Kol dodi dofik. The sound of my beloved is knocking at the door. Pischi li achosi, rayasi, yonasi, tamasi. Right? The lovers are separated by that door and they want to get together. There's a knock at the door. Shiroshi nimlatal. My hair is just right. Putzosai resise laila. Right, a very romantic scene of locks of hair dripping with dew and with rain. You know, like the two lovers who come, running to each other in the middle of a rainstorm to meet up to reunite. An amazing picture of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Knesset Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. And it describes, Ani yishena v'libi er. I'm asleep, but I'm so awake. I'm so not connected, but I'm so connected at the same time. Chazal explain, what does it mean when Klal Yisrael say, so to speak, Ani yeshena v'libi er, I'm lying in bed, I'm falling asleep, I'm hoping my lover will knock at the door, I'm hoping to reconnect. There's a part of me that's so awake and so ready to engage in that relationship, and there's a part of me that's slowly fading and is not even present. Says the Medrash, a remarkable list, in the Medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, in source number 7, a remarkable list of descriptions of how Klal Yisrael are the embodiment of Ani Yeshena V'Libi Er. Ani Yeshena Amra Knesset Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch. Listen to this magnificent list. Ribono Shel Olam, it's heartbreaking a little bit. Ribono Shel Olam, Hashem. Ani Yeshena Min HaMitzvos. Let's be honest, God. I'm not so great when it comes to mitzvos. There's a lot of mitzvos that I'm sleeping through. I might be doing them half asleep, or I might be so sleepy that I'm not sensitive to them. I'm not looking for those opportunities. I'm not taking advantage of those mitzvahs. But at the same time, Hashem, I'm a good person. V'libi er l'gemilas chasadim. Gemilas chasadim is often a code word in Chazal for just good deeds. I may not be so medactic on the halachos of this halacha or that halacha. I haven't studied Hilchos Shabbos the way that I know I should. I don't really understand the nitty-gritty details of how to keep Shabbos. Right? I may have a general sense of how to do things. There's a lot of mitzvahs, a lot of dikduke halacha that I'm not so sensitive to mitzvahs, and I apologize. I'm asleep at the wheel. But Hashem, I'm awake to gemilas chasadim. When my neighbor needs to borrow a bag of flour or sugar or whatever it is, of course I'm happy to help. And when I hear that someone's in the hospital, I'm the first one there to help out. And that's also a mitzvah. I'm a good person. I may not follow every halacha, but I'm generally a decent person. And the list goes on and on. Let's jump ahead to where it's bolded in source 7. Ani yeshena min haketz v'libi er l'geula. What a deep line. Ani yeshena min haketz. Ketz means what? The ketz hayom, the end of days. I'm sleeping. I've almost given up on Mashiach. But there's a part of me Libi, there's a part of me inside that's air, that's wide awake for Geula. There's a part of me that, if you really ask me straight, so you really believe in Mashiach? You really believe Mashiach's going to come? We were supposed to all do it today, no? We davened over it today. It's a mitzvah. It's one of the animamins. It's one of the principles of our faith. Longing for the redemption. The round's pretty clear. We're supposed to be doing that right now. Right? So there's a part of us that says, yeah, of course, we want Mashiach. You know, we want Mashiach now. And we don't want to wait. We could sing it. We could chant it. We could pray over it. There's a part of us, though, that says, I don't know. It's been a long gulus. It's been a long 2,000 years. Ani yeshenam et haketz. I'm kind of wondering, like, Hashem, you know, the clock's really ticking. Even according to Chazal, the Gemara says, 6,000 years of the world. By 6,000, we got to wrap this up. According to our calculations, which may or may not be exactly right, I don't know, Tav Shanai and Tess, we're running out of time. So Ani yeshenam et haketz, on the one hand, the Jewish people sometimes feel like, maybe pipe dream. And at the same time, Libi Er Legulah, there's a part of us that if Mashiach came, we'd be running, we'd all be ready. We're so connected. And the Medrash doubles down. Ani yeshena min ha-ge'ula. I might even be sleeping from ge'ula. V'libo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Er Legaleini. But Hashem's heart is still alert, is still awake to redeem me. Even if I've fallen asleep, Hashem's saying an even more cryptic statement. Omer b'chia bar Abba. Where do we find that Hashem is called the heart of the Jewish people? That, so to speak, a Jewish heart is synonymous with Hashem. Hashem is my heart, and my heart is Hashem. It's the spark of Hashem inside of me. Where do we find that Hashem calls himself the heart of Klal Yisrael? Min hadein kra, from the following pasuk, Tzur levavi v'chelki elokim liolam. So the Medrash in two different expressions. Ani yeshena min haketz, v'libi er l'geula. Ani yeshena min ha-geula, v'libo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is somehow connected to the heart of Klal Yisrael, is still hoping, is still believing. What an amazing thing. What are Chazal telling us? Right? What is this reality of a person who's asleep, but is awake, but is awake, but is asleep? So we have to really go, and Ratzon LeKohen of Lublin, and the Vilna Gaon, and many tzaddikim tell us, if you want to understand the concept, you have to find out, where does that concept begin in Torah? Where's the first time we encounter it in a serious way? Where's the first time we encounter sleep in a serious way? And what's the nature of that sleep? The Torah tells us that when Adam was being operated on to produce Achava, his beloved, says the Torah, it's quoted here in source number 8, Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tardem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cast Adam into a deep sleep. Vayapel. Hashem Elokim Tardema, deep sleep. Says the Medrash, Vayapel, sounds like a nefila. Going to sleep. Is going to sleep a good thing or a bad thing? Is going to sleep something we're striving for? Or does it show a certain disconnect? A certain lack of hope? Says the Medrash in source number 8, Rabbi Yeshua de Sichnin, B'Shem Rabbi Levi Amar, Tchilas Mapala Shena. The beginning of a downfall, the beginning of a downfall is sleep. I see it all the time. You know, I talk to people, especially students, college-age students. You know, sometimes it's hard for young men or young women to get up in the morning. Yeah. And they struggle with it. But when a person can't get that together, if you can't get yourself out of bed in the morning, it's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Yisgaber ka'ari la'amod baboker. Jump out of bed like a lion in the morning. Right? When a person's sleeping too much, it's a sign of a person, something's not right. Person's depressed, they can't get out of bed, they just want to sleep. Right? They're scared to engage life. It's a sign of an aphila. Something's not right. Too much sleep. We all need to sleep. That's part of our human biology. Part of our reality. But a person who's sleeping too much, and if I'm sleeping a little bit too heavily, a tardema, a deep sleep, you have to wonder, why does this person not like being awake? Why does this person not want to be in the world? What are they scared of? What are they running away from? What are they trying to avoid? So Adam HaRishon is put to sleep, and the pasuk says, Vayapel Hashem Elokim L'Adam. Hashem puts Adam into a tardema. Says the Medrash again, the beginning of a nefila, of a downfall, is sleep. Sleep is very often, what's our perception of sleep? As Jews, how do we view sleep? It's a good thing, it's a bad thing. Again, it doesn't seem like it's typically seen as a very good thing in Judaism. You go to sleep, you wake up in the morning, you have to wash your hands. Right? There's a tumah that comes upon a person. When one is asleep, there's a ruach hatumah. Chazal say sleep is a 60th of death. Right? Sleep is an afila. There's a tumah that resides upon a person when a person goes to sleep. There's a level of disconnect. The person's shutting off their mind. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a brain to use and to connect and to think and to be engaged in life. So on the one hand, sleep, we have this very negative notion of sleep. Klal Yisrael overslept according to the Medrash, according to Chazal. B'shas Kabbalah Satorah, that was a terrible mistake. We're trying to fix it, we're trying to show Hashem we're awake all night on the night of Shavuos. But there's another side to sleep. There's a more positive side to sleep. David HaMelech lets us in on an amazing secret. David HaMelech says in source number 9, Im zachartikha al yitzu'ai. If I can remember you when I'm lying in bed, Bashmuros ehege bach. Then bashmuros, then at times of watching, which might also be a reference tonight, or maybe the break of dawn, ehege bach. Then I can contemplate you. If I can, pay close attention to the words, they matter. If I can remember you while I'm on my bed, then I can possibly think about you, right? Bashmuros. Okay, what happens when a person's lying in bed at night? What happens when a person goes to sleep? Person goes to sleep at night, so they remove their das. They disconnect from thinking, right? They disconnect from productivity. And they wake up in the morning, and now they get back to the world of doing. But you know what happens at night when a person's lying in bed? In those moments before you fall asleep? As long as I'm still a little bit awake, there is something that actually becomes very pronounced often in those moments. And that is memory. What does David HaMelech say? If I remember you when I'm lying in bed. See, when a person's busy during the day, it's hard to sometimes remember certain things. And actually, sometimes if there's something I don't want to remember, I can block it out by just being busy. Let's say a person has a certain memory that they don't want to think about. So how do they avoid that memory? How do they avoid it? They stay busy. They try to stay really, 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 really busy so they don't have to think about it. But you know what happens? They get into bed at night, and it's quiet. And they're done for the day, and they've checked their email that last time, and there's really nothing else for them to do. Right? And now they're just lying in bed in those moments before they're overcome by sleep. And sometimes those memories, sometimes very positive, sometimes very frightening and very negative, right, can haunt a person in those moments. That they come creeping in. As I let go of my active brain, as I'm avatal my das, as I'm handing myself over to the world of sleep, my koach of zikaron, of remembering, that latent awareness of certain things that I sometimes block out by just being too busy, all of a sudden it starts to come back. It starts to reawaken. And the same thing is true in Avodas Hashem. When a person is going into a state of sleep, whether you realize it or not, whether it's more active or whether it's more subconscious, again, a latent awareness, the deepest zikhira, the deepest memories of a Jew sometimes bubble to the surface. And that's what David HaMelech is saying. Im zechartikha al yitzu'ai. When I'm lying in bed, David HaMelech was a very busy person. The Gemara even describes how David HaMelech pleads before Hashem. Hashem, I'm not like the other kings who sleep in. I'm not like the other kings who take it easy. Right? I'm busy waging war. I'm busy counseling people. I'm busy paskening shilas. We're at the beginning of brachos. David HaMelech says, I'm unbelievably busy. But you know what? When I get into bed at night, David HaMelech says, then I have the time to get into my zikaron, into my deepest memories, and I'm able to what? I'm able to reconnect to you, Hashem. Because sometimes even my avodas Hashem, my busyness, is really disconnecting from you. I'm so busy doing mitzvos that I forgot the reason I'm doing mitzvos. I forgot before whom I'm serving. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. So David HaMelech says, if in my sleepy state, when I'm lying in bed, I'm able to remember you, Hashem, then hopefully that translates into what? Then hopefully, ba'ashmuros ehegeh bach. Hopefully then by day, I'm able to really contemplate you. I'm able to continue that relationship with you. When I notice the fact that at my core, I'm always with you, then hopefully I can build upon that. Again, is sleep a good thing or is sleep a bad thing? When I let go, again, of being active, it gives me the opportunity to experience and to reconnect to those memories, that point of connection with Hashem, that is sometimes covered up by all sorts of other things. Let's learn a pasuk in Micha. Pasuk in Micha tells us in source number 10. Al tismichi oyavti li ki nafalti kamti, ki eshev b'choshech Hashem orli. The Navi laments the fact that the enemies might want to rejoice over us, But nonetheless, ki nafalti kamti, despite falling, I picked myself up. And even though ki yeshev b'choshech, even though my enemies want us to be cornered, to shut off the lights, to trap us, to put us in the darkness of galus, Hashem orli, God becomes my light. Says the Medrash, Yalkut Shimoni in source number 11, it's not that despite the fact that I fell, I was able to pick myself up, or despite the fact that it's dark, that I'm able to nonetheless bask in the light of Hashem. It's because of it. Says the Medrash, such a beautiful Yalkut Shimoni, Al tismichi oyavti li, ki nafalti kamti, says the Medrash, ilulein shenafalti lo kamti. If I would never fall, then I would never really know what it means to pick myself up. Ki eshev b'choshech Hashem orli, when I dwell in darkness, Hashem is my light. Ilulei sheyashavti b'choshech lo haya orli. If I wouldn't have dark moments, then I wouldn't be able to appreciate how Hashem is my light. If I wouldn't get into bed at night and enter into that world called sleep, then God forbid I just spend my whole life being so busy that I miss out on some of the most basic essential things in my life. So on the one hand, tardema, the thought of going into a deep sleep, is a very frightening thing. It's a moment of bittul, of surrender, of not being in control, of allowing oneself to admit that I can't be more productive the way that I would like to be when I'm alert and I'm awake. But at the same time, it allows me to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in a different way. It allows some of the deepest things to be created in those sleepy moments as a person is lying in their bed. That's what David HaMelech says. When I'm lying in bed at night, right, and I'm not busy doing, and I'm just being, so what am I thinking about then? Right? When I can't do anything else for Hashem, but do I remember Hashem in a deep way, in a very, very deep way? And then can I bring that into the relationship that I have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu by day? The first two times we encounter tardema in the Torah, superficially, it's not so good. But pnimius, on a deeper level, it's very good. Where's the first time we encounter tardema? I told you. It's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating Chava. Why is that superficially not good? Why might a person think that marriage in general is superficially not good? Chazal tell us that a person is not truly happy, is not truly complete, until one is blessed, God willing, to have marriage. There's a certain part of oneself that can't be completed until a person finds their spouse. But it's a little bit counterintuitive. You know why? Because now I have someone else telling me what to do. I used to be in charge of my life. You would think I was more shalem, I was more complete. Right? I was able to truly make decisions for myself. Now my decisions are being voted on by my spouse as well. Right? I'm giving over a certain control. So on the one hand, you would say that Adam HaRishon is letting go of himself and allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to literally take a part of himself, sending other Rishon to sleep, stealing one of his ribs, and creating Chava. You can understand it as, wait, I'm not going to be as true to myself anymore. That's one way to look at it. Obviously, the more correct way to look at it is to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to put Adam into a sleepy state, because again, in those sleepy moments, sometimes the most real things take place. And you know what's most real? What's most real is Etzem Me'atzmai, Ubasar Mibsari, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to create Chava, who could be that perfect match, that Ezer Kenegdo. And anyone who understands what marriage really is doesn't feel, oh, I surrendered, you know, my individuality by getting married. I feel that my life is much more complete now that I've allowed someone else to be a part of my life. It's a childish way of thinking that, you know, I need to be completely in control. I want to make all the decisions for myself. I don't want anyone else to tell me what to do. A person who understands what a healthy marriage looks like understands it's anything but that. It's not a surrender to someone else, but it's a completion of self. So that's why it has to come about in the tardema, because it's something very, very deep. A second example. Where's the second time we encounter a deep sleep in the Torah? It's by the Bris Ben Abbasar. In source 13. Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo, the sun was setting, v'tardema nafla al Avraham. And a deep sleep overcame Avraham. V'nei eima chashecha gedola nofeles alav. It was frightening. It was scary. Avram felt he wasn't in control. It was dark. It was intimidating. Vayomer la'Avram yadoa teida ki geria zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. Avram, there's going to be something called gullus, and it's going to really, really hurt. It's going to be really, really scary. A lot of life is going to be lost. A lot of hopes are going to be crushed. Right? The Jewish spirit is going to be stamped out, kemat, on the 49th level of Tumah in Mitzrayim. And yet, Avram, if you could just hold tight for a second, if you cannot fall completely asleep, ani yashen of ali bi'er, if you could just stay a little bit with me, Hashem says, you know I am putting you into that dark place? Ki yeshev b'choshech, Hashem orli. Because had I not gone through that darkness, I never could have come to the light. Ilule nafalti, if I didn't have a nefila, I would never understand the strength of who I am to pick myself back up. And therefore, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ends the Brisbane of Asarim by saying, Avram, don't get caught up in the gullus that I'm presenting to you. Don't be overwhelmed and frightened, and God forbid, lose hope in this process. Rather, Pasuk Yedalid, V'gamas ha-goy asher yavodu don anochi, v'acharei chen yeitzu baruch hashgadol. You're going to come out of Mitzrayim, you're going to be very successful, you're going to stand at Har Sinai, you're going to become my people. But you got to go through that process, that Kura Barzel, if you want to get there. So again, on the surface, the Tardema here, Avram is terrified. But if you could just look a little deeper, Avram, I'm making a bris with you, a covenant between man and God. What more could a person possibly want? There's nothing better than that. There was no one in history, the Gemara says, who knew how to speak as negatively as Haman Harash. The Gemara says he was the greatest Baal Lashon Hara that ever was. The Gemara in Megillah says that when Haman came to Achashverosh to negotiate the destruction of the Jews, Achashverosh says, I don't want to be a part of this. The Jews are a powerful people. So Haman says, well, let me explain to you how this works. You don't have to worry. I am worried. Their God's going to do to me what he did to my predecessors, those who came before me. So Haman says, I'm telling you, you have nothing to worry about. And Haman says to Achashverosh in Source 14, the greatest Baal Lashon Hara of all time, Amar Lei, he says to him where it's bolded, you don't have to worry. These Jews, Yeshno Am Echad, there is one nation, says the Gemara, play on words, Yeshno. The Jews are Yeshno Min HaMitzvos, Yeshen Min HaMitzvos. The Medrash, the parallel Medrash to this Gemara says that Haman said to Achashverosh, the Jewish God is also sleeping. The Jewish God fell asleep. There's not going to be a second temple. God told them 70 years. You did the math yourself, Achashverosh. God forgot about the Jews. The Jews forgot about God. You have nothing to worry about. So Achashverosh is still there. He says, well, what about the rabbis? Aren't there a couple good Jews who are still like into it? And Haman says to Achashverosh, yesh no am echad. They're am echad. We look at the majority of them. Lubavitcher Rebbe at a Febrengen in 1972. Purim 1972. Lubavitcher Rebbe said, think about this. You know what Haman HaRasha, maybe the biggest enemy of Klal Yisrael ever, is saying about us? Only the Rebbe could see it this way. The Rebbe said, he's obviously going to what? Not say anything good about us. He's going to exaggerate the bad about us. And yet Haman HaRasha himself admits that the Jews are what? Are sleeping for mitzvos. But we're not dead. We're not dead. We're sleeping, but ani yashen of a libi er. Haman, in some way, the biggest enemy of Klal Yisrael, you should go online and watch the clip. Just go online and search for Brangin 1972 Purim and watch the 7-minute clip of the Lubavitcher Rebbe talking about how even Haman HaRasha had to admit, yeah, sometimes we're a little bit sleepy on the outside. But you know what? V'li bi'er, Haman knew it. Haman knew it. He couldn't deny the fact that even when a Jew looks like he's a little sleepy on the outside, push comes to shove. Haman, you're going to challenge us. You're going to confront us in this way. You're going to see who we are. We're going to wake up. And Klal Yisrael woke up. The amazing volume that they put out a couple of years ago called My Story, different stories of people, interactions with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld tells a story when he went with a bunch of rabbis from the RCA to meet the Lubavitcher Rebbe. An amazing series of stories that took place. But he said at one point the Rebbe turned to these rabbis, the members of the RCA, and he said to them, let me ask you a question. He says, you remember the story in Sefer Malachim, when Eliyahu is standing on Har Carmel, and Eliyahu turns to the people, a people who have really lost their way, Yeshenim in a mitzvah, Jews who had really lost their way, and he challenges the people, Eliyahu and Avi, he challenges the people, if you're with Baal, if you believe in the idol Baal, then you should worship Baal, and if you believe in Hashem, you should worship Hashem. But Ad Masai, for how long are you going to be back and forth between the two worlds? Pick a team already. So Lubavitcher Rebbe asked these rabbis, he said, let me ask you, how could Eliyahu and Avi take such a risk? How can he take such a risk? He offers the people the choice. If you want to choose Avodah Zarah, so just choose it already. And go all in on Avodah Zarah. Put all your chips in on Avodah Zarah. How can he say such a thing? Is that really an offer? Wouldn't it be better to be like a parv kind of Jew? A little Avodah Zarah in the afternoon, a little time in the Beis Medrash at night. Why is he saying, pick a team already? The Maharal said, no, what do you think? Wasn't that a big risk that Eliyahu was saying? Wasn't he basically giving them a free pass to worship Baal? And the Maharal said, absolutely not. Because when he challenges you to pick, whose team are you on? If you let a Jew stay in that sleepy state for too long, so he could get caught in kind of somewhere between the worlds. But if you challenge a Jew, and Haman himself, Vina Hafachu, Haman by challenging us, you know what's going to happen? When a Jew is, says the Baal Shari, when a Jew is pushed against the wall, it's not a choice. It's obvious what he's going to choose. He wakes up and of course he chooses Hashem. He would never choose Baal. When you present it in that way, whose team are you on? It becomes abundantly clear to a Jew. It wakes up that spark inside of a Jew. And of course, as those Jews declare, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, it became perfectly clear to them. Because the light is always on the inside. Ani Yashena V'Libi Er. The parak that we read on Purim Day itself, the words of Tehillim Perachav Beis, that according to Chazal may have been authored by Esther herself, and she recited them on her way into Achashverosh. The parak of what? Lamnatzeach al Ayeles Hashachar. Ayeles Hashachar is the darkest part of the night, the sleepiest part of the night, and yet it's dafka in that place that sometimes the greatest miracles take place, that a Jew wakes up and understands there's a reawakening, a reconnect to a person's core, the essence of who one is. So let's go back to the opening question. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, I hold, you don't need to read the Megillah from the beginning. You don't need to read from Mordechai. You don't need to read from Haman. You need to read from what? Balayla ahu nedadosh nas hamelech. Who's hamelech? Who's hamelech? The Medrash tells us hamelech is always a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Megillah. If it doesn't say Achashverosh, it's hamelech. There was a night, a long gullus, the one that we're in right now. Right? And Klal Yisrael have been in many other forms of it throughout history. Balailahu nedadosh nas hamelech. That, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, someone who sees more deeply, is tokvo shel nes. That's the greatest miracle of all. That what? That the Jewish people could sometimes look like we're falling asleep, and dafka then. Dafka in those moments when it looks like we're just about to close our eyes once and for all. Ki yeshev b'choshech Hashem orli. I remember Hashem as I'm lying in bed, when I'm not so busy, even doing the things I do to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ani yeshena v'libi er. The second question we asked, why on Purim is a person dafka supposed to what? Supposed to go to sleep. On Pesach, we try to keep talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim until we're overcome by sleep. Usually we try to avoid sleep. Sleep brings a tumah. Sleep brings a histalkus hamochin, a disconnect from one's mind. On Purim ad lo yada, I'm letting go of my mind a little bit. I'm allowing myself to go to sleep. Because I'm allowing myself to get in touch with what? With the essence of my being. One of my rabbis likes to compare it to a Shabbos lamp. The light is always on the inside. It's just a question of how much you turn it and allow that light to shine outwards. How much do I allow that inner light to shine outwards? Ani yeshena v'li bi'er. Lamnatzeach ala yeles hashachar. When it's darkest, in the darkest moments, that's what Purim is. It's a celebration of the Vina Hafachu that takes place in mamish the darkest moments. We only have 2 minutes left. I want to just learn together a couple of lines from the final source. Because it's a beautiful, beautiful proof, in a certain sense, to everything we've said tonight. The Kajet Tzur Magid, the Avodas Yisrael, in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu is, of course, having his fight against Sarah Shal Esav. And Sarah Shal Esav, as he's fighting Yaakov in the middle of the night, says, you know, you have to let me go. Ki Allah HaShachar, the morning light has come. It's time for me to go. Says the Medrash in Source 15, the Medrash Ksiv Chadoshim LaBakarim Rabba Emunasecha. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. Al Sha'atim Echadshenu B'chol Boker U'Boker Anu Yodim Sh'Rabba Emunasecha LaChayos HaSameser. Hashem, because you wake me up every morning, it gives me chizik to believe in the truthfulness of Tchiyas HaMeser. Because I wake up in the morning, it strengthens my awareness of Tchiyas HaMeser. Explains the Kajet Tzur Magid, let's just read where it's bolted. He says, I'll bring the following proof. The Gemara says in Brachos that sleep is a 60th of death. So the Kajet Tzur Magid says an amazing thing. Sleep is a 60th of death. Sleep is a 60th of death. Well, hold on a second. Death is absolute. Death is dead. Sleep, I mean, I get the basic comparison, but sleep, you're still alive. So how can a person really compare, how can Chazal really compare sleep to death? To even say, well, sleep is a 60th of death. They're totally different. Sleep, you're still alive. Dead, your mom is dead. Unless, says the Kajasur Magid, that even when you're dead, you're still a little bit alive. And he goes on to quote from the Zohar HaKadosh, who explains that yes, that even when a Jew is dead, I'm talking in a physical sense, in a biological sense, there's some type of kista dichiyusa, some spark of life, some part of the body that retains a certain connection to life that allows for tchiyas hameisim to take place. So says the Kajasur Magid, if when a Jew is dead, he's still really alive. Right? So when a Jew is asleep, now we can make a comparison between sleep and death, because in both cases, you're still really alive. Death is not really absolute, and sleep is certainly not absolute. And therefore, Haman, in some funny kind of way, says, the Jews are sleeping for mitzvahs. But Haman understands, ani yeshein of alibi er, that the Jewish people are still alive and well. Rishon Bar Yochai says, just read the Megillah, and make sure you see the part where the king is stirring in his sleep. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not really sleeping, and Klal Yisrael is not really sleeping. It might look that way sometimes on the surface. But to realize that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is still very much with us, and we're still very much with him. So again, this is the sheet of Rishon Bar Yochai. Again, I think it's a deep secret and a deep understanding of what this sheet is about, where we need to hear the Megillah from. Tokfo Shel Nes, the strength of the miracle, the greatest miracle of all. And the strength of Klal Yisrael is the fact that for somehow, in some crazy way, we've somehow been able to, despite all of the sleepiness and the weightiness and the darkness of the galus, to make sure that we keep our hearts alive and awake. And therefore, ani yeshena min haketz, v'li bi'er l'geula, mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to see it from here.